My name is Miles Matheson. I'm the Data Platform Manager here for New Zealand, and I'm really excited about the next hour. We're really lucky to have Dandy Wee come all the way from Redmond. Dandy's going to be taking us through not only what's happening with SQL Server 2016, but where we're going with Cortana Analytics. And I have to say, this has been the biggest year for SQL Server. I mean, we've had the launch of SQL Server 2016, which without a doubt is the most significant release of SQL since 2005. And I can't wait to see all of you through the course of the next 4 days. And without a doubt, I want to hand over to Dandy to take you through what's coming with SQL Server and Cortana Analytics.
Thank you, Miles. How is everyone? Now look around you. You're all database people, right? I could tell from the way you're sitting in this room. You're a traditional row store with very little fragmentation. Okay. So, yeah, my name is Dandy. It's actually quite easy. I'm the only Dandy at Microsoft, but they didn't want to give me that email address with just my first name. I'm still working on that. I'm Global Technology Lead for Microsoft Data Platform, been with Microsoft for about 8 years, and more recently I focus primarily on big data advanced analytics, and of course you cannot do that without SQL Server 2016. Now, if I would play the exercise and ask you how many of you consider themselves DBAs and ask you guys to stand up, you would actually do that, right? How many of you actually are DBAs? Okay, quite a few. Okay, and a few did stand up. Okay, well, your life has changed. I remember coming to New Zealand a couple of years ago and said, hey, DBAs, your life is going to change. Okay, the way you deal with databases traditionally is going to change significantly. And so today, I primarily want to talk to you about change and about opportunities that you have. Okay. Now, there was an entire set of hands that did not go up, so I assume your business decision makers, your a technical audience that is driving analytics and so on, or that is looking opportunities that we have with the platform. Maybe some of you focus on the BI aspect, so we'll see where that is going to be going in this session. Now, keep in mind what I want to accomplish with this session. I want this to be the core foundation of everything else that we'll be talking about on the data platform today. So on some of the topics, I'm going to give you a little warm-up on what you're going to see in terms of sessions and what we'll be drilling down into, literally, when we use sessions and go into the sessions like Power BI, or we have dedicated sessions around Cortana Intelligence. Okay? So, as I said, the world has changed. If you think about it, I bet there's a lot of people in the room here. If I were to ask how many of you have a smartphone, I bet everyone's hands would go up, right? That was actually very different 10 years ago, if you think about it. People had cell phones, but were they smart devices, connected devices? No. Now the world is very different. It's a network where multiple devices and services connect with each other. And through that network of opportunity, there's a ton amount of information and data that gets collected that you as a DBA need to process, and you as an analyst need to start analyzing. Okay, so how do you collect that, work with that information, and take that forward? Okay, if you look at the PC market and the smartphone market, that has been relatively stable, slight growth, especially in the smart devices. But if you look at the Internet of Things, Internet-enabled devices, there's been a significant change when it comes to IoT. Okay, there actually has been major change when it comes to IoT. Everyone nowadays, whether they like it or not, have a connected device. And that could go anywhere from the car you're driving to the thermostat you use at home to change the temperature in the house and make it more comfortable, even up to the point where you might have a connected fridge and you actually know what's inside your fridge and how many times the door opens or the door closes. Okay? And that IoT generates a lot of data, and that growth is just continuing and continuing. Okay. The traditional hierarchies where information moves slowly and you had full control and full command of it has traveled to more responsive networks where information travels and it travels fast and you need to learn and adapt and work with that information. Okay. So there's been some fundamental differences that have been transforming businesses by a couple of things. One of them is big data. The other thing is cloud, and then the third is intelligence, driving intelligence out of that cloud and entire asset of data that you do have available there. Now, We often refer to this as data being the new electricity. You're driving insights out of that data, a lot of times to be more business effective, a lot of times to make the right decisions, okay, or to prevent disaster from happening. And you can monetize that data in so many ways. We think about big and we think about hyperscale to put things into perspective. Here's a couple examples of when we talk about big data. Okay, Skype, 50 plus billion minutes of connections handled every single month. Okay, Microsoft Azure, over 500 million users in Active Directory. Hosted Exchange, 2.4 billion email messages a day. How do you process? How do you manage that? What are the opportunities there? Okay, and technology has been going from getting value out of data to innovation out of data. So we all work with the traditional systems. Some of those actually might be some very complex implementations. We no longer live in a world of OLTP and OLAP. Okay, we live in a world of hybrid scenarios where OLAP and OLTP come close to each other. A lot of our business, however, nowadays are still batch driven. When I talk to customers, they often go, oh, we want to be able to do real-time analytics. Well, how do you drive real-time analytics and real-time data if you're still using traditional batch processes? If you're still using ETL? I was talking to a retail customer and they said, oh, we want to be able to see sales at real-time in every single store. And you look at their business process and what you see happening is the store records the transaction. Transaction goes into a local system. At night, batch runs, puts us to this entire process of putting that into a data warehouse because the enterprise data warehouse is a single version of the truth. Okay? And so that technology disruption will continue to grow from operational reporting, where we started to do interactive dashboarding, ad hoc analysis, where big data and Hadoop comes into play, and then taking that further into machine learning on any kind of data using in-memory technologies. Now, the reason I asked how many of you are DBAs was because of this. You think about the Microsoft Data Platform, and that Microsoft Data Platform primarily for you is SQL Server, right? It's an on-premises engine that has a database engine called a SQL Server engine, which provides you some capabilities like column store in memory, stretch database. I think we have a really good example here of a row store versus a column store index. This is a typical row store. The room next door, you should go look, it's more of a column store. Okay, if I need to get 20 people with the same characteristics, I'm gonna get it faster in the other room because I can pull, and here I have to search through every single row. It's the difference between row store and column store, right? So we look at that traditional SQL Server engine. We can deploy that on premises or in the cloud. We have high availability capabilities using Always-On. We have reference architectures that go onto SQL 2016, where we actually have been phenomenally beating performance metrics. SQL Server is the highest and the fastest scoring platform in TPCH. You look at that list that TPCH data has published, SQL Server is all the way at the top. Okay, I think it's the first top five proven performance testings that actually runs on SQL Server. And I'll talk a little bit about the differences there and what we've done with SQL 2016. Now, of course, we use that with a common set of tools. You're familiar with SQL Management Studio. In SQL 2016, we actually separated the tools out of the installation because we could be more innovative in terms of updating the tools and bringing more capabilities in the tools. So that's why SQL Server Management Studio is a separate download, not coming with the installation bits. And SQL Server Data Tools, if you were a BI user, you had to go download SQL Server Data Tools for BI, and you had to go download SQL Server Data Tools for database projects. That pain is gone as well. You now have a single tool, SSDT. You download it. It integrates with Visual Studio as it runs into a Visual Studio shell just by itself. And then we have an entire set of command line utilities that you could use, SQL Command, PowerShell. You got the migration and upgrade tools I think one of our colleagues, Lonnie, is talking about migrations. He probably is going to get into some of those tools as well. But what we shifted from was a traditional on-premises environment to a cloud-based environment that allows me to run SQL Server inside a virtual machine, but it also allows me to use an entire set of services to bring me faster time to market. I could spin up a SQL Server virtual machine using the Azure Marketplace. I can have a NoSQL document store using DocumentDB, and if I want to do big data, I can store data into SQL Data Warehouse or Azure Data Lake Store. Looking at those cloud services with Data Factory, I'm able to bring in a variety and set of data from multiple data sources, pull it in together, and use that. And of course, when we think about the key enabler of those connected devices, we cannot do that in a traditional database. That's why we need to have IoT suites, or we need to have event hubs and being able to do stream analytics and data lake analytics on top of that. And often that goes hand in hand with machine learning capabilities to do predictions on that. Okay. A lot of things that we focus on as well is besides the high availability that I can now bring from on-premises into the cloud using horizontal availability groups is also around data visualizations. And so on the data visualizations, we have a couple of things. Got a Power BI session that I'm presenting on later where we're going to be drilling down and talk about how we get from Excel to Power BI Desktop, what are we doing with mobile reporting, and what are the capabilities that I have from a report authoring perspective with a report builder or report designer. And then the delivery mechanism allows me to use SQL Server reporting services. How many of you are using reporting services? Okay. How many of you are using SQL Server 2016 reporting services? Okay, very few. What I'm going to do in this session is enlighten you about the capabilities you have with reporting services. When we talk about SQL Server, we don't talk frequently enough about the key investments we did with SQL Server 2016. This is going to bring mobile and flexibility just right by upgrading your existing 2008 or 2008 R2, because I think that's what most reporting services installations still run on, and move that over to SQL Server 2016. So great capabilities that we'll be looking at as well. And then, of course, I know this is a very little slide, but I wanted to provide you this as a matter of complete story. We'll have a look on what we do with Cortana Intelligence Suite and leverage and use things like bot frameworks and cognitive services. Okay? This, my friends, is an overview of the Microsoft Cloud Data Platform. And when you are building solutions on top of that, this is how I want you to think. What is the best scenario for my specific problem? How do I solve the problem and do something meaningful using the capabilities that come with the entire platform? And frequently, that might not be an on-premises data warehouse. That might be a combination in which you use hybrid or in which you use cloud services. If you're thinking about doing streaming huge amounts of data coming from connected devices, you're not necessarily going to use an OLTP system for that. You're going to be looking at Cortana Intelligence Suite or IoT Suite to get those connected devices and get sensor data moving that over. Now, SQL Server 2016 has been a major release for a couple of things, okay? Microsoft is an industry leader when it comes to mission-critical OLTP, and this is the second year in a row that we're highest and most visible on the Gartner's Magic Quadrant in terms of vision and capabilities. And a lot of that goes hand in hand with in-memory technologies, hybrid cloud scenarios, and HDAP, which we call hybrid transactional and analytical processing within a database engine. We think about security, we talk about being the most secure database, which is definitely key in nowadays world with huge amounts of data that people want to access for whatever purposes. Okay? When we think about end-to-end BI capabilities, we think about self-service BI that we can address per user, but we also think about the core BI scenarios we have and the in-database capabilities and in-database advanced analytics that we have, being able to run R natively within SQL Server as a database. So when we look at that and we look at the levels of innovation that we have, Microsoft has been innovating on a couple of things: data, cloud, and intelligence. Okay? And if you look at cloud, we have software as a service and PaaS offerings, IaaS offerings, and we continue to innovate on that. One of the videos I'll be showing you a bit later talks about how we're using GPUs to do fast processing of data, and you can only do that on a cloud-based platform based on the amounts of data that has been collected. We think about data, we think not only about the relational, we also think about the ability to store NoSQL. We also think about in-memory and being able to do operational analytics. And then, of course, when we think about intelligence, we think about going from traditional reporting to tabular business intelligence, to stream analytics, to predictions using machine learning or R server, and be able to do deep learning on the data that we have. And as you probably noticed in the keynote, a lot of that you're doing using cognitive APIs that will drive innovation and platform modernization. That's how I want you to think about that. Okay? So the hybrid transactional analytical processing, or HTAP, gives you real-time in-memory capabilities, 30 times faster OLTP, and 100 times faster analytics. So how do we do that? Well, before you had your OLTP system, and you would be pushing data from your OLTP to your OLAP to do reporting on your data. With nowadays technologies, you're actually doing analytics on top of your OLTP database. And we invested strongly in these capabilities when we introduced in-memory analytics and in-memory OLTP with SQL Server 2014. Okay, so we had column store indexing, okay, which is giving me huge performance when it comes to compressing and storing data. Okay, so much faster processing. If you have a columnar compression, you have columnar storage, you actually are using less data pages than what you are with a traditional row store. Okay, so I can pull that data faster. Now, what else I can do? We invested a lot in building out our in-memory capabilities. In-memory, Microsoft is doing that very differently than some of our competitors in the space. If you look at some of our competitors, they have an in-memory engine, but they don't have the solid background of a core database platform that actually allows you to drive that. Okay? A lot of these vendors have separate tools, or they just have an in-memory database, but they don't have the solid capability of being able to enable always-on availability groups on a database that has tables that sit in memory and still use that to your advantage in terms of high availability and failover. Okay? And so we got rid of all the transactional processing and locking that comes with in-memory, yet maintaining all the capabilities you have with the SQL Server platform. Okay? So to give an example on that, one of our customers processes and predicts loan defaults. They actually want to know, do people pay for their car payment? And what's the prediction? What's the case? Okay, so how old is the car? Was the original balance? What's the interest rate? What's the credit score of the person? And how many months have they been paying? Or how many months have they been behind? Okay, so they are actually using column store in combination with in-memory OLTP and are directly embedded within SQL Server to do in-database analytics at scale, visualize that using Power BI to then bring that to the business users. If you want to do this kind of scenarios and run predictions, you're not going to be able to run that on the traditional systems as you currently have. You're going to have to look at an architecture that allows you to bring that massive scale. And so the outcome is that based on what we had with this customer specifically, they are able to process 20 million predictions in 80 seconds, okay? That's a million predictions per second. Think about those capabilities. I can predict on a data using an R script in database to get an outcome at a million predictions per second. That's significant, okay? All within the database. Now, when we think about performance acceleration, we talked about SQL Server 2016 analytics performance, okay? Just by doing a hardware and software refresh using Intel Xeon processors, we've actually seen a 73% increase over SQL 2014, okay? We actually have TPCH data published where we scan 600 billion records in 3 minutes, okay? And that reference architecture using a 100 terabyte data set scanned within SQL Server column store engine on a single 4-socket Xeon E7 version 4 server, okay? Which is a published case study that you can actually get from the deck. It's a published reference architecture. Now, if you think about scale, SQL Server 2016 is definitely better with Windows Server 2016 when we think about memory support and we think about Windows Server maximum core supports, okay? Up to 640 cores and up to 24 terabytes of memory. Now think about that. I can put almost my entire database in memory, run predictions in memory, and then output the results, okay? So better performance and scale, better than just any other version, market-leading technology with column store indexing and Windows Server 2016. Now, if you look at the enhancements in terms of mission-critical performance with SQL 2016, there's quite a few. And in the sessions that we're going to be bringing to you over the next couple of days, we'll be touching on those specifically, okay? We'll be looking at performance enhancements using in-memory OLTP, query store, being able to use temporal tables. When we think about security, encryption is key, and encryption is important. We can use always encrypted to actually encrypt sensitive data from the moment a transaction takes place on the device that it's been rendered from. Okay? So if I scan my credit card on a pay terminal, that scan and sending everything over and bringing back some results and output is 100% fully encrypted. The data never gets decrypted. Okay, so great capabilities there. One of the other things that we did with SQL 2016 is we enabled dynamic data masking, which allows you to mask the data for a specific set of users. You can actually say, hey, these users need to see this data in a masked way. So when somebody selects someone ID information, they don't actually get the actual data. We actually mask that data and flip that over. And of course, one of the other releases with SQL Server 2016 is something that we already had in SQL Database, is the row-level security capabilities. Enhancements that we did in terms of high availability is we have basic support for availability groups with SQL Server 2016 Standard Edition. So always-on availability groups is now also available in Standard Edition, which is a great way to give you basic high availability and disaster recovery. And then we enhanced that with distributed transactions and increased the amount of replicas you can have with always-on availability groups. You can have 3 synchronous replicas as well. And we actually could do live migrations of virtual machines and so on as well. Now, when we think about high availability and disaster recovery, that an enhanced always-on capability does not only give me the capability to do high availability groups on-premises, I can actually take that and make synchronous replicas available on premises, but then also do a hybrid DR using Azure Virtual Machines. And I know Warwick has a session on that later this week. He's gonna be talking about how we actually do mission critical and high availability, because not only are going to be using that secondary database for disaster recovery and high availability purposes, you're actually going to be using that to run your backups from, or to scale out your BI and reporting capabilities, because you can read from that secondary database, okay, just as efficiently. Talked about security. Security is a multiple layer of protection. It goes into the ability to audit. It goes into the ability to implement row-level security and dynamic data masking, combination with always encrypted, but also being able to do what we call advanced threat analytics. Okay, we've been the least vulnerable database 6 years in a row, and SQL Server is the most utilized database on the planet. Okay, There's more install base of SQL Server than there is of any other database. That's pretty significant. So those DBAs, the future is bright, right? When we think about big data, when we think about Hadoop, in SQL Server 2016, we actually took the ability to use Polybase, which we already had on our APS analytical platform system. We actually brought that within the database engine with SQL Server. Why? Because you look at the amount of data that you could process if you have 24 terabytes in memory, okay, and you look at those capabilities with SQL Server, you can actually build out your data warehousing solidly using SQL Server 2016. And then in combination with Polybase, you can use that in a single query between a SQL Server database engine and a Hadoop region. Okay, so the ability to then combine in standard transact SQL, you could query Hadoop data as well. Now, when you think about IoT, a lot of the things that happens with IoT is these devices that generate data for you, they prefer to send that out in JSON format. Okay, so with SQL Server 2016, we actually also have built-in JSON support, and we could process JSON just as efficient as any other data type. Okay. Now, that makes SQL Server a really good platform, not only to deploy anywhere. I could deploy it on-premises. I could deploy it in the cloud. SQL Server Engine is actually the engine that sits behind Azure SQL Database, okay, and a lot of those PaaS services. Not only could you deploy anywhere, we also give you choice of operating system, okay? I think it was about 6 months ago or something, time just flies, that we announced that we will be releasing SQL Server on Linux as well. That by itself is huge, okay? Think about the capabilities you have that have been a blocker in terms of migration. Oh, I'm running Oracle, but we're running Oracle on Linux. We're not sure if we want to migrate the operating system and the database. Would these see core values of using the SQL Server platform, but our DBAs or our sysadmins are not really skilled to actually manage a Windows operating system? You have the choice of platform, okay? Your developers, same thing. If your developer is not using a Windows client to develop and they actually want to have a local database installed, they can do so, okay? They can run SQL Server locally for their development projects and just run it that way. Not only do we give you choice of OS, we also allow you to connect to any kind of data, whether that's streaming, whether that's non-relational, whether that's Hadoop and HBase-based. We just give you those capabilities. Now, from an advanced analytics capabilities, that, of course, we actually brought R through an acquisition. We put the R open standard into the SQL Server engine. And if so, if you're a data scientist and you're writing R scripts already, well, where you were sitting on a desolated island pulling in data into the R engine for processing, what you're actually doing now is slightly different. You can do that in database. You don't have to move the database around. So think about those capabilities. And so that means that SQL Server is really the solid and underlying platform for any application, whether that's T-SQL, PHP, Java-based, Python, .NET, Ruby, any kind of application will support SQL Server, okay? So that means that I can bring in data from connected devices, I can run it on Linux, and really put that into the heart of Linux users as well. Now, you think about modernization, one of the other things you need to think about is, do I need to have an entire SQL Server engine to accomplish what I need for my application? I actually might be able to use Azure SQL Database because Azure SQL Database gives me exactly the same functionality when it comes to mission critical. I can spin up a SQL Database on Azure and make that highly available across multiple data regions. And I can scale that out. I can provision that in minutes. I don't have to patch it. I don't have to update it. Okay? And I have geo-replication capabilities on that as well. If I have a SQL 2005 or a SQL 2008 database, I might decide not to upgrade the server and say, hey, let's take this database and just use that as a database as a service on Azure using SQL Database. Okay? Same support of data types, same support of applications. And when we drill down into application capabilities, we probably have a bit more functionality in terms of high availability. You make that highly available just in minutes. Now, when it comes to enterprise data warehousing, Azure SQL Data Warehouse really allows me to do large-scale provisioning of compute power and data. So I can actually bring in data into Azure SQL Data Warehouse, scale up the compute as I need it. So if I do some monthly processing that I need to do fast, I'm just going to be increasing the amount of CPU that I need to have running on top of the data. Okay, so it's a scale-as-you-go model where you could actually throttle back and forth. You can actually pause and resume the batch workloads, which means that when you're not using the compute, you're not paying for it. Okay, so that by itself is significant. We have a couple of customers that actually use that capability to do once-a-month batch processing. So they scale things up. They're done in 2 hours, where in the past they had much smaller hardware systems, and it took them 3-4 days to get to the same results. Now they just assign more CPU and they scale it back down, and a much more efficient cost model. Okay. Now, if you think about the evolution of database, there's a big evolution that happened from the traditional relational database to the NoSQL. actually, with DocumentDB NoSQL, we scale to hundreds of terabytes, supporting replication across multiple data regions, so bring that data actually closer to the user. We did it very efficiently as well. Now, as we think about cloud, there's currently 34 Azure regions, which is double the size of what's available on AWS. Okay, so we have the most solid, well-built-out cloud platform. Okay, actually, there's 1.6 million miles of fiber that runs across our data centers. Okay, you think about connectivity there. 1.6 million miles in fibers. I know it's just a short flight from Seattle to here. That wraps around it quite a couple of times, right? Now, what have we done on the BI and business intelligence analytics space? Okay, we've done a lot in terms of end user, in terms of analyst and developer. There's quite some other capabilities that we put in there as well. So what we did there is SQL Server 2016 mobile BI, okay? We actually bring mobile BI on any device, and I could do that with a combination of reporting services, or I could use Power BI to actually accomplish that as well. So using the in-memory capabilities, using the mobile BI capabilities, that actually gives me online and offline access to my actual data, okay? So we do that by pulling in some real nice, rich visualizations with Power BI, but we also use that by enhancing reporting services. Now let me just quickly check if I can switch over to my machine here and give you a quick demo on that. I'm gonna switch in just a second here. Okay, so let's have a look here at number 6. Okay, so some of you used reporting services, right? This is reporting services 2016. It looks a little bit prettier. Okay, not only does it look a little bit prettier, I can actually interact with my reports in a different way and literally use any kind of browser. So I can take a mobile report and I can actually interact with that report just in a very same way as I can interact with any of my other reports. Like, come on, get me the report. I got people watching. By the way, I'm running this locally off my Surface. Okay? There we go. Here's my mobile report. Okay? That means I can actually interact with it. Things will pop up. Okay? Things will go up and down. So I actually have some great capabilities with that that I can actually show. Now, as I go to Power BI, okay, I'm going to use my Power BI desktop application, okay? And I can start building a Power BI report, publish that to a Power BI service, and in the near future, I actually will be also able to take that report and publish that to reporting services. Okay, so great capability coming up there as well. Now, a lot of us probably care about social media analytics, right? What are people saying about my company, about me, about anyone else? Look at this. Isn't that pretty? Okay. This, my friends, is a visualization on what people are saying about Ignite New Zealand and how they are connected. Okay. Now, do you think I'm going to be building dashboards and publish them and rebuild them and redefine everything? No, this is actually a Power BI solution template that I could spin up myself on Azure using a Logic app, set my parameters of what I want to be monitoring for, and it's up and running. Okay? With data refresh capabilities. Up and running. This takes 5 minutes to deploy this entire solution. It goes from spinning up the application on Azure, provisioning the SQL database, giving me the Power BI dashboard, and publish that to my Power BI tenant and use that service. Okay? So that's extremely fast. Now, I did talk about the ability to bring things mobile as well. So let's have a look on how that mobility actually would look like. Okay? So what I'm going to show you is switch over to this device here, okay? And so everything that I see in my browser, I can actually all look at the dashboards that I do have available, okay? Scroll through those. I could take one of those dashboards and hope that my international roaming capability is going to come through and use that on any device, okay? By the way, this is I'm using an iOS device to actually browse and render my reports here, okay? So I could do that exactly the same, but it looks like there's just a lot of cell phone traffic going on right now. Okay, so let me switch back to, let's put it this way, okay, and see if my report is actually going to come up. While this is loading, I'm actually going to go back to my other machine and show you what that looks like, okay? So going back to this, if I connect to my Power BI service, okay, I'm going to be able to access that dashboard, okay, and look at the dashboard that I do have available, okay? Now, this is actually a quite interesting dashboard, okay? Because if this dashboard does what it's supposed to do, I should see that dashboard change dynamically, okay? This is pretty boring dashboard, isn't it? You look at that bottom line and it says coldest temperature log and number of events logged, 4,256. Okay, well, let me show you what I'm actually doing here. Okay, so I've got this dashboard, and what I can do is I can actually look at the underlying report. Okay, and the underlying report is giving me my data set, the coldest temperature, the maximum of temperature that I had. Okay, so it looks like temperature was 31.94 degrees max. Okay, let me just quickly show you what I have here. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the dashboard, and I'm going to show you my camera, okay, and see what I have here. Let's just not look at the mess here. Let's switch this over here for a second. Okay. So what I have here is a device that is really interesting if you get on a plane with this and you go through airport security. Okay. It's like, I mean, I pulled this out and said, like, sir, do you guys need to see this? And they're like, what is that? No, I think you're fine. I said, okay, because I have a box of those with me. So what I have here is a Raspberry Pi connected to a temperature sensor. And I've got a little status light here that said, like, I'm currently running this in red mode. Okay, let's push the button. Okay, now we're running this into green mode. And my internet connection is up. If I grab this little thing here, temperature should be going up. And it is going up, right? Okay. Is that anyone in the room was like really, really warm? Because if you are, come on up here. I need your help in my demo. Okay. So temperature is going up. Okay. Automatically, once I hit 29 degrees Celsius, that just helped this a little. Okay, and it's going. Once that I hit this, my status light will change. Okay. And so what I'm doing here is I'm collecting this data from this device, uploading that into Event Hub, put that through Azure Stream Analytics, and generate a live dashboard out of it. Okay? So pretty cool technology. We do live dashboarding better than any other vendors out there. Okay? So did you see the status light change to red? Okay, now someone is going to be really smart and say, like, ah, change it back to green. Just ignore it. Okay, so it's like, well, no way, we're back to red. You have a temperature alert. Okay, well, let's override it. Don't worry about it. Switch it back to green, right? Okay, no way, you're having a temperature alert. I'm going to do this again. Keep switching it. Okay, switch it back to green. There's no way I'm going back to red. You have a temperature alert. Okay. I'm just going to leave this temperature alert running for a bit here. Okay. As temperature will continue to go up. Okay. There's somebody with an ice cube by any chance? Let's bring the temperature down. But what you'll see happening is that, hey, my live dashboard just keeps updating. And I can actually see by the minute what was my hottest temperature, what's the max temperature that I actually reached, okay, doing stream analytics just based out of that. Okay, let's switch back to the presentation. We're actually going to, when we do the Cortana intelligence session, we're actually going to drill down into that just a little bit more. So I showed you the social media analytics using the Logic app, very easy to deploy. You can actually deploy that yourself in minutes. Talked about the capabilities we have for reporting services and the integration you have between reporting services and Power BI. I can actually take items of a reporting services report and put that on a Power BI dashboard. So when I use the Power BI service, I actually have the ability to go back to the reporting server and then render the full report that comes with that. Okay, we'll be looking at that into the Power BI session that I'm doing later. Now, I did mention that when it comes to reporting services, I can also integrate that reporting services with the Power BI app and use that on any device, which means I could also consume it on Android, iOS, Windows, or any other HTML5 compliant device. Now, when we think about IoT, that growth of devices, I think that's clear, that's exponential. And I think I gave you some really good insights on, hey, how easy it is to just get a little device, get the data off of it, store that and load that up. Can you imagine if I had millions of devices on that? I only had six with me on the plane. High availability disaster recovery, right? But yeah, that's how I get the data and I upload it and it just keeps going, okay? Now, what happens to that data? How do we analyze it, okay? If you look on going from data decisions to actual actions, you need to go from descriptive to diagnostics to predictive to actually prescriptive data technologies. And what I wanted to show you in a quick video is how one of our customers innovates, saves a lot of money to do a very dangerous job, much more efficient, using our Cortana Intelligence Suite. So let's have a look at that video. Thank you.
eSmart Systems Connected Drone adds intelligence and mobility to big data analysis, and it's a game changer. The current methods of power line inspections are slow, expensive, and dangerous. Connected Drone is replacing manual processes with Azure-powered machine intelligence. Drones are sent out on beyond line-of-sight missions. Data is collected using multiple sensors and streamed to Azure. Vast amounts of data is sent through powerline-optimized deep learning algorithms. Connected Drone updates component registries and pinpoints faults and weaknesses in this vital infrastructure. Connected Drone is feeling the pulse of the power grid and keeps the power flowing.
Okay, so pretty inspiring video. Great technologies connecting all of this together using Cortana Intelligence Suite, where we do things like stream analytics and be able to populate and process that data using Azure Machine Learning. If you look at some of those scenarios, we actually have a session on this tomorrow morning where we're going to be drilling down into some of those use case scenarios and get into product recommendation engines, fraud detections, giving you great capabilities on what customers are doing and how they're staying ahead. Now, when we think about these advanced analytics capabilities, we think about pre-configured solutions, just in the very same way as I showed you that Power BI capability, pre-configured with pre-configured dashboards and visualizations, pre-configured machine learning analytics solutions and information management to drive intelligence using cognitive services, using bot framework, and using Cortana. Now, when you think about those APIs, there's a couple of things that you probably already seen in the keynote when it comes to face recognition, text analytics, computer API, and speech. So there's some really great capabilities that we could use there, okay? And I'm actually gonna show you that just in a second on how that actually works and what those capabilities are. Now, one of the other things that you can actually do is the Microsoft Bot Framework. You can build applications built on the Bot Framework and interact with that. And I think that's what you saw in the keynote with the Murphy API, where you could say, hey, what if I was this or that, okay? I'm gonna switch over real quick to that kiosk application, okay? So this intelligent kiosk application is actually using some of those APIs. So if I click onto one of these demos here, I can say like, hey, I'm gonna use this demo bot and it's gonna tell me what it says. So I could use this caption bot, okay? The caption bot says, hey, I haven't seen a human in a while. Okay, I think it's a man wearing glasses and a tie. I don't know where it gets the tie from, but okay. So you see that, fast response of the data that I'm getting in. Did it say something that I was not supposed to say? Now, the interesting thing is, how old do I look after some quite interesting days of travel? Let's have a look at that, okay? And we go into that a little bit in the other session as well. Okay, well, it says, hey, look at that. I was able to recognize Dandy in this. 69% accuracy based on the data that I have in the database, and 47, that's only a couple of years older than what I typically am when I'm not traveling, and that's pretty good. So, of course, we collect this data and we drive that back to intelligence as well. Looking at the some of the other examples here, maybe this is interesting too. What if I were to use an algorithm that looks at me and defines what kind of dog I am? A German Shepherd, must be kept busy, intense, and highly intelligent. Well, that's pretty fascinating, okay? So what we'll be covering in the Cortana Intelligence session is how this actually works, how does it work behind the scene, so we can actually do an emotion match as well. Okay, and it just said, at times I'm a sad baby, and I think some of my colleagues would actually acknowledge that, okay? So some great capabilities with that. Okay, so to wrap this up, talked about bot framework. We talked about cognitive services and how to bring this all together. One last thing to last me to do is really play this inspirational video if you haven't seen this. So we'll have a look at the video just in a second to wrap this up. And then last thing, I'm going to be putting up the data platform sessions that you're going to be seeing this week.
I'm Saqib Sheikh. I lost my sight when I was 7. And shortly after that, I went to a school for the blind. And that's where I was introduced to talking computers. And that really opened up a whole new world of opportunities. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago as a software engineer. I love making things which improve people's lives. And one of the things I've always dreamt of since I was at university was this idea of something that could tell you at any moment what's going on around you.
I think it's a man jumping in the air doing a trick on a skateboard.
I teamed up with like-minded engineers to make an app which lets you know who and what is around you. It's based on top of the Microsoft Intelligence APIs, which makes it so much easier to make this kind of thing. The app runs on smartphones, but also on the Pivot Head smart glasses. When you're talking to a bigger group, sometimes you can talk and talk and there's no response and you think, is everyone listening really well? Or are they half asleep? And you never know.
I see two faces, 40-year-old man with a beard looking surprised, 20-year-old woman looking happy.
The app can describe the general age and gender of the people around me and what their emotions are, which is incredible. One of the things that's most useful about the app is the ability to read out text.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's your menu.
Oh, great, thank you. I can use the app on my phone to take a picture of the menu, and it's going to guide me on how to take that correct photo.
Move camera to the bottom right and away from the document.
And then it'll recognize the text. Read me the headings.
I see appetizers, salads, paninis, pizzas, pastas.
Years ago, this was science fiction. I never thought it would be something that you could actually do. But artificial intelligence is improving at an ever faster rate. And I'm really excited to see where we can take this. As engineers, we're always standing on the shoulders of giants, building on top of what went before. And in this case, we've taken years of research from Microsoft Research to pull this off.
I think it's a young girl throwing an orange frisbee in the park.
For me, it's about taking that far-off dream and building it one step at a time. I think this is just the beginning.